There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
David Stinnett is joining us on the Paracast this week. So we were focusing on this before. As our society changes, the UFOs change with it. Are the UFOs perhaps taking us in new directions that we're not really quite aware of yet?
I can figure out why they're not landing. I think they've landed enough times and collected enough rocks and flower samples to satisfy their curiosity, and they don't need to do that anymore.
I always wondered about that. You know, how many samples do the UFO nauts have to take? They only need one or two.
Well, you know, it's funny, in like the old days, I guess, Gene, you know, 40s and 50s, and even the 60s, people would always be stumbling up to these guys, and they'd always be wrenching on the flying saucer, you know, so somebody's underneath there working on a thing, and it's not until you get a little bit later in life, I guess, you go, well, how are they able to traverse the entire universe or known space and all the hazards and stuff like that, but they land here and they have to start working on these damn things, you know, what's the deal? Again, you know, this is another one of the trickster parts of it. You get a lot of those accounts where people roll up on a UFO or a guy working on a flying saucer, and he's, you know, one guy's talking to you and the other guy's working on the flying saucer. So you're like, these guys are this that advanced. I'm just like, what's going on here?
Yeah, excuse me, Earthling, do you have a half-inch socket set?
You know, nowadays it's a Torx wrench or a Torx screwdriver. And I was thinking of that. I'm thinking of taking apart my Apple iMac to update it. Of course, use Torx screws.
No, why they make these scoop marks, and they take out, you know, fairly sizable chunks of skin, when all they really need to do is just do a swab inside the mouth to get some genetic material.
This is where I kind of get on people a bit, because they're not being taught how to think, or they're not being taught how to think critical, or maybe you have to be taught how to think like that. I'm not entirely sure, but I think there's one good thing about the younger generation is that they're tech savvy, you know, and they're a pretty smart group, but you still find a lot of them buying into it. But a lot of them are a little more, they are critically thinking. I think maybe some of these games have them thinking a little more critically than our generation does, because they could pick some of this stuff off. There's a new video out, and it's got the meteor over Southern California, and the UFO gets ejected out of it, you know, and starts zipping around. And I was just like, as soon as I saw it, I go, the orb was added. I'm just like, that's retarded. And I was just getting hammered, and people were like, oh, no, that's the real thing. So, you know, the hoax killer came out today, and they're like, the whole thing was CGI. And it was like, not even the meteor was, like, you know, for real. You really, I mean, when it comes to anything in the paranormal field, and Chris knows this true, that you really have to, you know, go in and pick it apart. Because if you don't,
especially now with CGI so accessible and affordable, you know, your pimply-faced 13-year-old can actually sit there and, you know, spend some time, but come up with a convincing, to the untrained eye, a fairly convincing piece of footage. And, of course, it's you know, easy to spread that around the world on the net. And you just start a ball rolling down the hill, snowball, and it just gathers speed. And you have sites like the moon site of the twins that shall not be named. I start itching in places I don't know where to scratch. I'm just wondering, though, we were talking before about how the technology and some cultural elements tend to be precursor to, you know, they're slightly couched ahead of the time. I'm wondering, in that Villa-Boas case, if that blonde-haired alien that came in and did the dude actually kind of stuck her tongue out and was twerking like Miley Cyrus before she started grunting like an animal and turning Villa-Boas off. Anyway, I digress.
Well, there again, you get these blondes, you know, you get more, and we have, supposedly we have 52, you know, different species coming to the planet. You know, you think with all the people, all those races coming in and off the planet, we'd sense the, you know, commotion, or sense of traffic, but it's bizarre. The whole field is bizarre, but you really have.
Wait a minute, there's 52 different species of aliens coming here. Who came up with that number?
I think Cliff came up with it.
Cliff Stone?
Yeah.
I think he's right. Yeah, 52. It's kind of like he was looking at the commercial from Heinz, and they said 57 varieties, and he said, no, 52, because five of them are extinct, I guess.
I think that's why I guess I like to call the kind of the guys in the know is Hansen had it with the Trickster, and Chris picked up on the Trickster, and there's something, you know, that travels beneath all of this stuff, and it's happening, but it seems to come up and just kind of throw a little tweak in it just to throw you off, and it's designed. You realize it's designed to do that, and then it pops itself up enough where you start, you know, being able to track it. And Chris even had in his presentation that he does, and where that sheep, you know, where the brains are missing but the skull's intact and the backbone's been removed type stuff, but it's real precision stuff. And compared to all the other stuff, you're like, this is like really strange. So you get these things, and you can gauge, you know, you can gauge what kind of case you got by, you know, what kinds of these things actually pop up within the case.
Right. I love the real good quality witnesses, ex-military, pilots, law enforcement. They tend to be a little bit better quality witnesses. And I'm always on the lookout for corroborating witnesses that have some sort of training, you know, operational awareness of their surroundings, that sort of thing. But a lot of times, you know, we just have to settle for the fact that it's going to be some yahoo in a trailer park that's going to, you know, have a really incredible sighting. And unfortunately, his uncle-in-law, who's a full bird colonel or something in the Air Force, didn't happen to be there that day, unfortunately. So, you know, it does get tweaky, it gets twerky, it gets all those things. And we really should, I think, expand our horizons a little bit and really, you know, kind of open it up, I think, and get creative with our thinking. It's a constant mantra that we hear around here at the Paracast is, you know, we need creative thinkers. The kids, I think, are a little jaded and cynical, but they do tend to come up from time to time with some pretty interesting insights, I think, that are creative and deserve some attention instead of, you know, a backhanded slap and, you know, go sit in the corner type attitude that some of the older guard in ufology has. But, you know, they haven't solved it in 60-plus years, so perhaps it's time to bring in some fresh ideas, fresh perspectives, and some creative thinking, and that's
exactly what I try to do with the conference, actually, Chris. And right. That's what I have, you know, I'll bring in the what I generally refer to as the circus, but what I'm trying to do is bring in guys who give us a new perspective. And there's a lot of stuff that we already, you know, guys have been doing it for a long time. The Congress here has been filled with a lot of great researchers. I mean, you know, we've had, you know, Wendell Stevens used to, you know, hang with us on a regular occasion, Graham Bethune, and
Wendell never met a UFO pitcher he didn't like. I saw him at a conference here in Phoenix in 98, and he had this, I forget the guy's name. It was some Joe, somebody from Denver that was coming up with all these way too good to be true photographs. And one of them was of this huge disc-shaped object, broad daylight, hovering over the country store in my town of Crestone. And I even recognized the two cars in the picture. I knew whose cars they were. And I had to grab Wendell after the conference and say, Wendell, you know, I can't vouch for any of the other photographs, but I'm guaranteeing you that photograph over the country store in Crestone was absolutely a fake. There's no way in hell that shot could have been taken without half the town knowing about it within minutes. And he said, well, you've gotten some good stuff before, so, you know, I think it's real. And I said, I'm telling you, it's not.
Yeah, but see, that's what you come to realize when you start hanging with these guys, is that they bought it all, you know. I remember, and it was funny because I was talking out loud about the incident, but it was one conference and Graham Bethune was speaking. And Graham had, you know, given his usual government account of what he did, you know, this, that, and, you know, his whole account. And that was fine. And then he started ending with, like, yeah, last week I was flying around the solar system with the aliens. And you're like, oh, what just happened there? You know, and that kind of, and you're like, and I was mentioning that, you know, out loud amongst some parapsychologists one day, and one of them said, yes. And I go, you know about this? And they're like, yeah, it's, you know, the aged military guys, you know, once they reach a certain age, you know, we don't know whether the curtain's rising or falling, but this seems to be a common occurrence. So when it comes to the military guys, especially guys who, like, don't have a wife and who aren't grounded, This kind of segues into my biblical stuff of sorts.
Let's go into that stuff of sorts in our next segment with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237. 6-2-2-3-7, extension 129.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNLive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNLive.com.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste. And even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Biblical stuff, of course, David?
Well, you find, like, I won't mention names, but there are, you know, at least a few well-known researchers, and every one of them, and I mean, first I have to preface it because, and Chris has seen it and we've all experienced it, but if you feel like really you're digging into this stuff and you don't, you're not grounded, I mean, you can like really go off the rails. And I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I've seen it 100 dozen times. You have to have some sort of grounding. You have to know when to step away from it and get a grip. And, you know, because if you, I always say, if you hang out with the UFO crowd, you think they're going to land, you know, any minute now. And if you hang out with the, you know, the Bible crowd, you know, the Jesus is going to come in any minute now. Sometimes you just kind of have to step back and you know what's going on. And you just have to get a grip and say, you know, let me get reoriented. So what I found is that you get a lot of these guys, and if they don't have a wife or somebody, and for these specific cases, each one of them have a wife or a husband who's a practicing Christian, and they kind of reel them in when they start going off the rails. So I've noticed that the marriages who survive this have this component in it. There seems to be something, you know, that keeps them solidified. But that's just one aspect of.
Yeah, or friends that tell them to chill out. You need a break, or you're starting to sound a little questionable. You know, don't forget, your sanity is at stake here. I've seen some people really just totally lose it, and especially in the cattle mutilation investigative realm, that's even tougher. You think UFOs are tough? You should try being an unexplained livestock death investigator. Today on the Paracast, we had a post from a investigator researcher out in Missouri that claims that one of the scientists that they've been working with out there had a close encounter and now has fast-acting cancer and is getting ready to die. It's like, where does this stuff start? Where does it go to? And when does it end? It's all subject to interpretation. And if you're not, like you said, if you're not grounded and really focused and centered, you're going to have a problem dealing with this stuff on any level.
Yeah, it's true. And unfortunately, if you hang out within that community, you know, you're not going to get somebody who's going to dial you in. They're going to feed your trip. So, and it can get wacky. I mean, maybe 5 or 6 years back, but I was like in like hardcore mode, and I was doing a lot of archive and a lot of book reading and going through all kinds of film and going out to active areas, and I was hopping. It was because it was, I don't know, 2008, 2007, but it was popping, you know. And I was out at a local place, and there was this gunmetal black like C-140 transport just kind of lumbering in the sky. So I got out my camera phone, because my camera phone's HD, so I put it onto the object, and the object wouldn't come into the finder. It wasn't there. So I was like, well, wait a second, it's got a bank near this tree over here. So I set it up, and I'm waiting for it to bank, and it's right there in the camera. It should be in the camera, and it's not in my viewfinder. So I'm like, damn, the camera broke. So I get in my car. I drive maybe 5 feet, and I said, wait a second. So I got out of the car and I'm looking around. I was like, well, it's capturing everything else. Why isn't it? It's capturing the house in front of me. Why isn't it not that? And the thing wasn't making any noise. And it was just bizarre. I don't know how to explain it. It was just bizarre. So I go home, and a bunch of the local old-time researchers are giving me a bunch of their research. And I dug under this pile of the VHSs, and I pull out the tape. I stick it in, and it's Bruce Coronet, and who used to be with our Congress. And he used to put up some interesting stuff, an interesting character. But he's talking about, he's trying to catch this big black airplane that's lumbering across the road in front of him, but it won't come into his viewfinder. But he does manage to take a picture, but it's all kinds of weird, you know, color lines and stuff like that. But he's basically describing exactly what I just got done coming from. And it's just like you just get into those modes where the synchronicity is popping in the moment. It's not, you know, next week. And it gets kind of weird. But I was talking to Hanson about it, and he's just like, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, you have your you know, you're immersed. You have your head totally into it. So, you know, these things do take on, you know, those aspects, and it's true. And you're not aware of it. I mean, you're mildly aware of it, but when you get an acute case of it, it's nice to have people around who can, you know, reorient you. And for me, you know, George Hanson is one of those guys.
Now, I should tell you, with George Hanson, there's a long discussion in our forums about the fact that he is a skeptic of a very key UFO abduction case that was covered in a book by Bud Hopkins.
Yeah, the Linda case.
Right, the Linda case. And the point being here is that we have a regular visitor to our forums who's acquainted with Linda and was acquainted with Bud Hopkins when he was alive and has done extensive research into it, pointing out areas, many areas, where George Hansen basically missed the boat rather big time on the grasp of facts. He got a lot of things wrong, chapter and verse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but the other thing is, I know some of that team that was, you know, put together for that, and they were like, you know, some serious, you know, ex-cops and detectives and investigators and, you know, the sort of like that. So it wasn't a ragtag group that George had together, but George can pick apart a story, and that's what we're here to do. You know, if you're going to put up some, you know, crazy claim, then you better be able to back it up. And I had David Jacobs down here for a conference, and we were talking about this exact thing, and he was still mad. And George was in the audience for his talk, but, you know, it's weird because Dave Jacobs is another one of those guys. You know, nice guy. People love to hear him talk. But there's a lot of these guys in the biblical UFO field, I call it. And they interview him. And David Jacobs had no idea that there could ever be anything else other than this alien stuff. And they're springing biblical verse on him and saying, you know, this doesn't sound exactly the same way. And no idea. So you got to take it from that kind of that point of view. I mean, it's like, how tunnel visioned are people? You know, how long have they milked this cow, and this is the cow that they're going to milk, you know, until, you know, they're done. But I mean, I'm befuddled how so many researchers are still in the alien thing at all, to be honest with you. I mean, pretty much everybody has moved. We have a, you know, progression where you go through the system and you're like, oh yeah, UFOs, aliens, and then maybe you get a little critical, and then you start, you know, you're looking at the cons of every argument now and saying, well, they make a good point. And they make a good point. And you start saying, yeah, these questions have to be answered. And those questions never seem to get answered. And eventually they do. And you were right to start out with, but you took a bunch of flack on the front end that nobody remembers anything on the tail end. So
you're not a follower of Eric von Däniken's claim, and many others made the same claim. He wasn't even the first, that we were possibly visited by higher beings or alien beings or something in ancient times, that there was a presence of an advanced race. You don't subscribe to any of that. I'll have you answer that question in our next segment. So we've got a lot more to go with our guest this week on the Paracast. This is really fascinating. We're talking to David Stinnett of the New Jersey UFO Conference. We have it linked to the Paracast site, by the way, if you want to find out more about it. And with Gene and with Chris, you're in
the Paracast. You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We love that you're passionate about GCN. And whether you're a listener, a business owner, or a radio industry professional, we've redesigned the new GCN newsletter to keep you in the know. Get updates on your favorite GCN shows and hosts. Go to GCNlive.com and click on the banner in the upper left corner. Just for signing up, you're automatically entered for monthly giveaways. Start receiving your newsletter today. The future of talk radio. GCN.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Yeah?
Do you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down at the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, UFOs in biblical times. Were they UFOs, David Stinnett?
Yeah, I don't, you know, we were talking about Van Daniken before. No, I don't subscribe to that at all, actually, so. And the thing is, it's funny because I was in, Elie Marzulli does this UFO series, and it's basically done from a biblical point of view, and he doesn't beat you over the head with it, and he actually does a pretty good job on most of these things. But he was telling me that, you know, he'd be in on Ancient Aliens, you know, and they'd pretty much give everybody else a free run to, you know, to say their piece. But when he would give his trip, basically they edited it all up to make it sound like, you know, Noah was an extraterrestrial. So
I knew a fellow years ago named of Yonah Fortner. Don't know if you remember him. Very close with Jim Moseley. He died probably in the early 2000s, I think, because I was in touch with him up till then. And Yonah basically says that the God of the Bible was the pilot of a spaceship. And he was writing about this in the 50s, way before von Däniken. And I'm really careful about the pronunciation, because of the fact that one of our regular listeners and our staff announcer, Bob Zanotti, was correcting me on European pronunciations, and I won't even go there. So what do you think of any of that? You don't think that there's any possibility that if UFOs are real today or represent a physical phenomenon, and obviously you have questions about what they might really be, that there's a possibility that that force, whatever it is, was there then?
But that's where you start getting into the real nuts and bolts of this, I think, because you have to be really boned up on your modern physics models and your modern holographic universe theory models and your multiverses and stuff like that, because how do you even start diving into something like this?
Well, just start at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, Chris and I were having a conversation. It was about the Germans had come up with this machine It was called the CE-600. And it was something they were trying to pick up the spaces in between dimensions or something to that effect. And it was a very sensitive machine. Well, the machine went fucking haywire. So what they decided, somebody suggested Chaihon's theory of the holographic universe, recalibrate it. So I was following that because it's important because they know that basically everything in our universe, everything is mathematically perfect. Everything, our planet from, you know, the ozone and our protective layers to, you know, the microbes in the ground, it's, everything's very specific. You know, it's a little too specific. So what they're trying to do is see if this is a, you know, and the movie The Matrix is based off that theory, on that 1956 theory, basically. So I was looking towards that. I hadn't seen anything. Evidently, Fermilabs picked up that research for some reason. So I was looking for that. Because if it comes out that this is, I don't know how they would release that to the public, frankly. But if they find out that it actually is, then that means this is a created reality, which is basically what the Old Testament, New Testament has been saying all along. You know, this is, you know, this is a created reality. And I think most of us know that, you know, our receptor package, our brain, isn't really picking up everything that's going on around us. I mean, we use different, you know, light spectrums to pick up the UFOs. We're out in Western Pennsylvania where we have somebody spotting with a night vision to, you know, put us, rest of us who have night vision, onto it. And when you're filming it, you step away from a camera, you can't see it with the naked eye. There's nothing there. But when you go back to the night vision, boom, it's there. So we also have to realize that we're not getting the full picture on what's going on around us. So from that standpoint, you know, that some of this stuff starts to jive a little bit. And when you start getting into this, you start bumping into guys like, I don't know, are you guys familiar with Joe Jordan?
No. The name kind of rings a bell, but I'm not familiar with his work.
Yeah, Joe Jordan is a former MUFON regional director in, like, I think Florida or something like that. But stand-up guy, was into all the, you know, the love and light and New Age stuff and all that, you know, good stuff. And evidently he found Jesus and started, you know, doing research from a biblical point of view. So he started doing the abduction stuff from the point of view that it's, you know, it's demonic or something to that effect. So what he found was, is that I think he's still collecting data, but he has boatloads of people who have said, you know, in the middle of one of these things, you know, I call out to Jesus and it stops immediately. And so he has, I'm assuming before it's all over with, he'll probably have as much as Bud Hopkins or anybody else. And my personal point of view is, well, his data is no worse or better or worse than Bud Hopkins or anybody else's. So, and as far as I'm concerned, it's all on the table. We put it all on the table. I know, like Chris was saying, we have to think outside the box. And at this point in the game, we have 60 years of some fairly decent scientific research, and we have pretty much a big old goose egg. So we need to start thinking differently. Joe's research and he did a big thing in Roswell, where he had these people come in and, you know, tell their thing. But even if that's a small section of the abduction phenomenon, the fact of the matter is, whatever these things are, seem to be scared of this Jesus guy, and it stops immediately. So we know it's not alien in the sense, because aliens were, you know, somebody from another galaxy or planet or whatever, but be like, yeah, who had Jesus, and move along, you know, and keep doing what they're doing. But evidently, his end of research is showing that this is something happening. And Joe works in, like, aerospace over in Korea and Japan. So, you know, Joe's not a slouch, and he's a stand-up guy. So, at that point in the game, you start going through what he's putting out, and you're like, well, that's interesting. That's stuff I've never heard about in the UFO community. And if I wasn't, you know, in these particular pursuits, I probably never would have heard about it. So it's just another aspect to that.
Well, aren't you kind of pigeonholing this thing into a Western, you know, Judeo-Christian sort of playing field here? What would happen if somebody in India?
It's true, but you got to figure most of this stuff is mostly Semitic, so it's, you know, it's had its roots over there. I mean, the Westernization of it has just brutalized it, in my personal opinion. But I mean, it is to a certain extent, Chris. Yeah. But in the bigger picture, it all started over there, and it's still all big over there. There's no, you know, there's no difference over there. And, you know, Jesus,
well, I would think
the apostles in India too. So
it's all contextual. I mean, it depends on you know, your upbringing, your belief system. I mean, in you know, in the Islamic countries, for instance, the jinn are considered to be sort of quasi-demonic type forms. And so I don't know if
Japan,
you know, using the name Jesus would have anything to any effect on a jinn, but maybe calling out the name of the Prophet Muhammad might banish them or something. Where do you draw the line?
That's actually a really good point. I'll talk to Joe because that's you know, that was one of those questions that have to be answered is, does he have people from other parts of the world giving the same type of testimony? And if he does, then, you know, there's another little piece that we get to add to the puzzle. But it's a good question.
I'm just listening to this.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you have to say about that, Gene?
Let's get this guy on the show and see what he has to do, what he has done, and see where he stands, because I'm always interested in different approaches to this. Because I know I've read books, a few books over the years, where some people were relating UFOs to some kind of demonic phenomenon of some kind. So I'm surprised by nothing.
Well, that's kind of why I went to those things, because you start reading like Valet, like Messengers of Deception, and when you're actually in the field, you realize there's more BS flying around here than you shake a stick at. I mean, it's completely deceptive and more different angles than you shake a stick at. So I started saying, well, what's the world attacking and what deals with, you know, deception? And my mom used to work at the Institute for Advanced Study with Teller and Oppenheimer, so she's an egghead. But she's also been a believer, and, you know, definitely more so than I have, you know, growing up. But I have to admit, I was a prophecy buff growing up, so, you know, I got the full expansion of every different type of prophecy that, you know, that was going around. But, you know, she's the one who said, hey, stupid, you know, check this out. And after seeing, you know, and I didn't take it really seriously at that point in the game, but after seeing Missler's presentation, I started taking it seriously and said, all right, well, this is one of those things I love to dig, and let's get it on.
There's a big point here we could raise, but it has to come to our next segment. All right, so let's just take it easy. Let's do our due pausing right now. Instead of due diligence, we'll pause. David Stinnett is joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Did you know by age 50, half of all men have an enlarged prostate? This means more urges to urinate, longer bathroom trips, waking at night to urinate, or issues with sex. If this sounds familiar, call us now, because we're shipping free bottles of Super Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Super Beta Prostate is a non-prescription formula guaranteed to reduce the symptoms of your enlarged prostate. It's yours free. Pay only shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-875-6415. In clinical trials, the ingredient in Super Beta Prostate was shown to reduce urges to urinate, improve bladder emptying, reduce waking at night to urinate, and improve quality of life. This Super Beta Prostate free offer is for listeners of this station. But it won't last. Don't wait. Just call 1-800-875-6415. That's 1-800-875-6415. Call 1-800-875-6415.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case. What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast, because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
With Gene, with Chris, we're talking with David Sinnott of the New Jersey UFO Conference. David, what about something that we're kind of leading into here, I think you agree from the discussion so far, and that is the reflective nature of UFOs, that they seem to reflect the culture of the time, your expectations at the time, that sort of thing.
Well, the strange part about it is, like, you know, Chris and I have talked about this, and because we hang around those areas, but you get the rock art that has, you know, flying saucers in it, and there's stuff like that all over the place. So, unfortunately, it's a shape, you know, the flying saucer shape is something that's kind of universal to a lot of things, so we don't know if it's actually pertaining to that, but, you know, you get enough of weird stuff where enough weird stuff in the sense of, you know, the drawings, how they're depicted, that, like, well, this isn't an eye, this isn't an eye, or this isn't a boat, or something like that, this is something that's flying. So whatever that part of it is, again, this is another one of those little things that just stick in the phenomena. It's,
yeah, but all these images and non-attributed, you know, visual information that we can find around the world from ancient times to the present, it's all in the eye of the beholder. I mean, you supply the context within which you attempt to try to identify and interpret what a particular shape is. For instance, around here in the, you know, the Mogollon Rim area, we had a volcano that was the last of the 200 volcanoes at the San Francisco volcanic field just up around Flagstaff. This volcano, they think, erupted around 1190. And you can find really impressive petroglyphs of what appears to be a saucer shape that has lines coming out of the top and the bottom. And I could see, you know, the average person looking at it and saying, my God, that's a petroglyph of a flying saucer. But according to anthropologists and archaeologists, it's an actual picture drawn on the rock of the volcano erupting. You know, you have that pyramidal sort of discoidal shape of the mountain. You have the ash coming out the top, and you have a single lava flow coming out of the bottom. You know, you could very well look at it and interpret it as a flying saucer that is beaming some signal up into the cosmos and then emptying the bilge or something from the bottom. So, it's, again, it's all contextual. It's all in the eye of the beholder. In terms of the demonic thing, though, Nick Redfern wrote a book called Final Events, and he talks about this secretive group within the military and the government that I guess he named the Collins Elite, for lack of a better term. But they've been convinced since the 50s, possibly even as early as the mid to late 40s, that all this type of activity is demonic in nature, and they're according to Nick's research, they were quite concerned about that. Are you familiar with that particular book? And
Yeah, I am, as a matter of fact. I actually had Nick to my last conference. But the Chuck Missler guy I was talking to you before, he actually speaks a little bit on the Collins Elite. There are some people who actually thought that he may be part of it, which I doubt it very seriously. But, yeah, I mean, I'm familiar with that whole line of thinking, and I'm not, you know, again. You go to the book of Daniel, the end of the Daniel 70 weeks prophecy, we're down to basically the feet, basically down somewhere around where we're at now. And he says, they will try to mix their seed with the seed of man, but it won't cleave. So whatever we have, what he's talking about, and Daniel's prophecy has been pretty good, as far as things go. It's been...
Pretty good how so?
As in accuracy.
Okay, so how so? In what way was it accurate?
Let's put this... If in the New Testament, they say there's, 300 to 400 years that are missing in between there. But if you go through Daniel tells you that, Greece is going to rise and Rome's going to rise and, they're going to, it's by name, when I go back, I'm going to have to, and this is, one of the messengers basically saying, once I get done dealing with Persia, I'm going to have to go back and battle the Prince of Grecia. And it's fairly specific in that sense, but Daniel, he fills in the gap that everybody seems to think there's a gap, but there's not. But that
gap is the Apocrypha. That's the Greek Bible that was the Roman Catholic Church sort of did away with it. The book of Noah, the book of Peter. These were the books that were considered the New Testament at the time of Christ.
Well, what you have is the Torah, the Old Testament, and the first translation, the Septuagint, was transferred from Hebrew to Greek. Because basically at that time, the Hebrew was like Latin today. And it was kind of basically just used religious stuff. And the Jewish people at that time wanted a Bible that they could read, And the thing is that both Hebrew and Greek are both heptatic. They have multiple meanings for words. So, when you're talking love in Greek, it's five different types of love. So the translation is very specific. When most scholars looking for exactly what the Torah said in those days, are looking at the Septuagint because it gives you a precise translation. And you realize, at least as far as translations go, there's only been three really major translations, and that's from Hebrew to Greek, from Greek to Latin, and from Latin to English. And, there's Spanish and other stuff, but a lot of that language is derived and people kind of have a grip. Spanish people know how to speak Italian or understand Italian. So, but by and large, they're all solid. The only differential is that the older they are, the less soft they are. They soften them up as the ages come up. When they talk about Jesus in the Septuagint, basically he'd been beaten so badly that by the time he hit the cross, you couldn't even tell he was a human being. You get to the King James, and it was like his visage was so marred you could not tell he was a son of man. Big differential, but they're cupcaking it. But what you also realize within that whole realm is that the one spot that actually allows you to understand the entire narrative from beginning to end is the one area that the preachers usually leave out or don't want to touch because it's too weird. And that's Genesis 6. These beings come out from their first estate, a place, the Okaterium in Greek, the place that we all long to be to. And they come down and they mate with the women and create these things. And these things are gigantes and Greek, and it does sound like giants, but what it actually means is earth-born, but they actually happen to be giants. But then you have the Greeks mythos is picking up because there was evidently a time when whatever this stuff was going on, these civilizations knew it was going on. But the thing is that you start to understand what's going on through the rest of the text because this stuff is popping up through the rest of the text. And then they're basically seeing what we're seeing in the sky. They're experiencing the same weird stuff, except they seem to know who it is and what they're up to. That's the only differential. Whether you want to buy into that narrative, that's entirely up to you. And I usually tell people, I'm just like, if this is what you want to, look into, I'm not saying you have to buy into it, but you should be aware of it.
Well, if that's the case, then someone having an experience may be attracting some sort of evil intent, be opening themselves up to some sort of demonic force, energy, intelligence. That doesn't quite make sense to me because there's such a wide range and cross-section of of the culture that has inexplicable events. I mean, priests in the South Pacific have had incredible up close and personal daylight sightings. We have people that have been venerated in their communities, in their cultures, have had close encounters. For instance, are they attracting evil? Is there some sort of equation that we could look at to?
Well, Chris, I mean, I don't know if you follow like UFO hunters or not UFO hunters, ghost hunters, and it's kind of petered out, I have to admit now. But initially, I was watching all those guys on Facebook, all those groups, and we understand that, you know, within whatever tribes with the shaman or whoever, the priests, or the, you know, the churches, us, there's a reason for the ceremony. And these guys actually will go in and you'll watch them. They'll go into an investigation. They'll come back home and they'll drag whatever it was in that investigation back home with them. You know, they're getting all the weird stuff and stuff in their house. And they don't realize, and then I'll say, did you do a closing ceremony? And they'll be like, well, what's that? I'm just like, you know, when you get done with a house, I'm just like, you don't want that stuff coming back to you. And it could be psychosomatic. But evidently the parapsychologists say, no, that's valid. You know, there's a reason for that. And it does seem to put, you know, keep the things where they need to be.
Yeah, picking up accidental hitchhikers.
Yeah. But it's funny to watch that, but you know, it's like you're just waiting for one of these guys to have like a really bad incident, because it's not, you know, people think you watch Ghost Hunters on television and that's what you do, and it's like that's reality, folks. I mean, you know, you got to be careful out there. There is stuff out there.
Yeah, I've been in a situation with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, actually, of all people. We
she's the crashed.
We crashed a portal spot in the San Luis Valley, and we had a really riveting experience up close and personal of something that was just barely invisible, kind of manifest around us, and we split. And then had, you know, a pot jump across, you know, from the window, jump off and land in the middle of the floor in an impossible manner, right when she said, I hope it didn't follow us back here.
Before we get followed too closely, we got to do this break with Gene and with Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN. We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite host and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tablet or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com. The future of talk radio. Now at your fingertips.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.